CliffCentral.com.
All right, Anthea, what's happening?
So where shall we start? Let's start with Wednesday, with the macroeconomic data. On Wednesday, our CPI inflation came in at, drumroll please, 3.7%.
Okay, good.
So you know the
good
reserve... That's brilliant, right? For us consumers, we don't want high inflation. So it's just been coming down and down and down, which is fantastic. So the Reserve Bank is targeting 3 to 6% inflation rate with 4.5% the midpoint. So this is now well below their midpoint. In fact, it's closer to the lower band than it is to the midpoint. And so you would think that the South African Reserve Bank on Thursday would have cut interest rates at their Monetary Policy Committee.
Yes.
And did they?
No.
Can you believe that?
Why?
I don't actually know how to explain this.
Have they got a policy they're not telling us about?
Maybe. I don't know. Eh? It's just so
what
wrong.
What would the strategy
be? Kanyako says, well, he says that... monetary policy can't replace structural reform, and that's what South Africa needs. South Africa needs structural reform. He says to grow the economy, you need other things to be in place. He's still worried about exogenous factors like fuel price inflation and capital outflows. He's also worried about locally wage inflation. And so he's thinking that all of this will still come through. The Reserve Bank is expecting CPI inflation to peak at 5.3% in the first quarter of next year, 2020.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, we're so desperate for GDP growth, and the consumer is so constrained. And, you saw it in the retail results, right?
Yeah, there isn't enough money in the system.
That's right. There's just not enough spending, and we all know that GDP growth is 60% driven by consumer spending. And if the consumer's not spending, then it's going to be really difficult to get GDP growth. And I just cannot for the life of me explain why the Reserve Bank did not cut interest rates on Thursday.
Well, at least the CPI figures are good.
I mean,
we should be pleased about that, because it does indicate that there's a little bit more health than we thought.
Yeah.
Although, maybe people are saving. Maybe finally, when push comes to shove, people are like, well, we're not gonna spend as much money as we used to.
Well, I think part of that is that they can't, actually.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. But that may be a good thing, you know? It's almost like you're being forced to be disciplined. No,
I think you need people to spend in order to grow the economy, actually. So can you imagine if inflation fell to deflation? So when things were cheaper and people weren't spending at all, and you were, let's say, a car manufacturer, but you were in a deflationary environment, and next month, let's say next week, cars are going to be cheaper because it's deflation than they were last week. So Mr. Price, we'll talk about that in a minute, but this is a good example, actually. You wouldn't go, as a consumer, you wouldn't buy a car because you know that next week it's going to be cheaper. And the week after, it's going to be cheaper. And as the car manufacturer, you stop manufacturing.
Isn't that what is happening in the property market?
A little bit, yes. And definitely in construction, because people are not buying houses. They can't afford it. And so the construction companies are not building, and they're all going bust. So it's not good, actually. So what happened with Mr. Price, because they put out their first half results as well, and they admitted to a couple of things going wrong. And one of the things that went wrong was that in December of last year, they imported or they just got their fashion wrong. Not the first time. Actually, probably only the second time in Mr. Price's entire history. Woolworths have done it a couple of times. Mr. Price got their fashion wrong, and they did another thing. They did what they call assortment imbalance. In other words, they got their sizing wrong.
Uh-oh.
And so in March and April of this year, you saw very aggressive sales at Mr. Price, because they were trying to get rid of their summer fashion going into winter, and trying to get rid of the sizes that people weren't buying because it was the incorrect sizing, basically.
Well, it's almost like stocking up your kitchen. You don't want to buy a whole lot of fresh produce that's going to go off.
There you go.
You buy what you need. And they almost have to... I didn't realize this, obviously. I mean, I don't think about what...
Oh, it's a science.
Woolworths or Edgar's or anyone else buys. But if you think about it, you have to have a good idea of how many smalls, how many mediums, how many larges, how many extra larges and so on you have to buy.
Exactly.
And if you get those wrong, the stuff just sits there.
Yep. And if you get your fashion wrong, So this is like the one thing I have no idea about is fashion.
Yeah.
And so imagine that you import, because you have to order ahead of time, right? Yeah. You're basically ordering.
And you're hoping people
months.
Will like it.
Exactly. And what if they decide, oh, actually, that is not the fashion for me?
So when you say they got the fashion wrong, do you think that they were maybe too fashion forward, or that they weren't conservative enough, or the opposite?
Because that's, you're asking the wrong person.
I'd be fascinated.
Ask somebody
to hear.
Else.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Surely someone in this room has an opinion about that.
And it's fascinating.
And you said. And you said, we'll cut that out of the podcast.
Okay. I'll leave now.
You said that they've got it wrong twice.
Yes, and the year before they got their winter fashion wrong, if I remember correctly.
That, this is not your opinion of fashion. What you mean is that by the numbers,
exactly.
It turns out they
absolutely.
Didn't do well.
Absolutely, yes. So they admit it. So they say, so they've got buyers, obviously, who go into store and compare how other stores are doing to how they're doing and what they're buying and what people are
amazing.
Wearing. And
this could indicate that South Africa is quite a fashion-conscious country.
I think we are becoming.
Because if people didn't know anything about fashion, they just buy whatever was there. They wouldn't go to a different shop or stop spending altogether. Isn't that interesting?
And also, don't forget, it's only recently that we've had competition like H&M and Zara and all the foreigners coming in. That hasn't happened. I mean, that hasn't always been historically the case.
All right. Now, you were going to say something about the construction industry just now, just that they're in deflationary situations.
Well, there's just no growth.
Yeah.
I can't say that it's in deflationary situation, but there's just no growth. And so the construction companies are just falling over one by one.
All right. Well, let's talk about life healthcare.
Sure.
We're talking about people falling over one by one. First of all, how's the company going?
So they put out their full year results. This was an interesting one because they had good, strong offshore performance, weak domestic performance, but ironically, the expectations were different from the market. So the market was expecting less from the local, and so the local exceeded expectations.
Wow.
And the offshore didn't meet expectations. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Group revenue was up 9%. Normalized EBITDA was up 3.5%. Decent cash generation from operations. They generated 5.9 billion rand in cash, so that's just over 7% higher. And they managed to increase their final dividend. But, you know, I think they said that their outlook was still very difficult. And quite frankly, this is probably still the most expensive of the hospital shares on the JSE at the moment. We had Mediclinic a week or two ago, and even though they performed quite badly, and it's not that they performed badly, it's a funny thing about South African companies, the ones that have gone offshore, they've all been hampered by something. You know, there's like a change in regulation, which is Mediclinic's problem, because they're now in Switzerland, the UK, Dubai, and just something about how the regulation has changed offshore has hurt them a little bit. So Mediclinic are now recovering, but Health Life Care is still a little bit sick, I'm afraid. So, it's just too expensive, and I'm not going to be touching those shares at this stage.
Can we look at two of the banks quickly? Well, one is the holding company, Rand Merchant Holdings, and then we'll look at Investec.
Yes, let's do that. So Rand Merchant Holdings, they're a holding company and they hold First Rand. They announced last week that they're unbundling First Rand from the group. And the thing with holding companies, and you know a couple of them, there's PSG, there's Conduit, African Rainbow Capital, Patrice's company. They're all holding companies. And what happens with holding companies is that they generally trade at a discount to their net asset value. So the underlying holdings. So imagine you owned First Rand shares. Let's say you own 10 First Rand shares and they were trading at 20 Rand each, and you were a holding company. Let's say Cliff Central was a holding company and they had a couple of other holdings, investments underneath that. You can easily calculate the net asset value of those, of your holdings,
you
of your investments.
You take the companies they own and you add them together.
Exactly. But the funny thing about holding companies is that they generally trade at a discount.
So the sum of the parts is less than the whole.
Exactly. Oh, look at you bringing up a little phrase, a little cliche there. just turned around. And so what they're doing now is saying, well, for our long-suffering shareholders, we're going to unbundle our holding in First Rand at a 10% discount. And you'll actually see those shares now trade higher than where they were being valued on the JSE. So that's quite exciting.
What does that represent, an opportunity for buyers or for sellers?
Buyers for FirstRand. Actually, I would actually, normally there would be what we call a pairs trade in the market. If you go long the one share and short the other share, because you know that the correlation between the two is so almost near perfect. In this case, I think that both shares will probably rally, because what will happen is your FirstRand will be unbundled and be basically free to trade as they do. And then your RMHs, they're also saying that they're going to unbundle other assets in this company. And so hopefully the discount will narrow, as we say.
Okay.
And then Investec, they reported their first
half. Can I use another cliche just to explain how that works in my head? So you're basically, you're losing with one hand and gaining with the other.
Oh, look at you. Is that more or less what it is? That's exactly right.
Yeah. So your RMH shares will be less valuable, but you'll try to sell them off short.
Oh, look at you.
And you'll
very
try to.
Good.
Well, you're teaching me things. I'm trying to.
I was just thinking.
If I don't put it in my own words, I don't understand it, you know? This is how it goes.
Just look at your scholar. How he's grown.
So impressed.
I'm still unimpressed with you riding that stupid bicycle race, but we'll save that for the end.
Oh, yeah, no. Even I'm unimpressed about that stupid bicycle race.
All right, Investec.
So, Investec, first half results. The share was down 2.4%. It's down almost 10% since it put out its profit warning in September. This is a difficult one. So they're also unbundling. They're unbundling or spinning off their asset management division. They're calling it 91. What do you think of that name? As an asset management business. I mean, because so you know, Allan Gray, Coronation, Cartesian, what other asset management businesses do you know? Investec Asset Management, Standard Bank Asset Management. Investec are calling their asset management business 91.
Yeah.
No. So what's his name? Hendrik de Toy went to great lengths to explain why
is it numbers or is it written out 91?
It's, as far as I know, it's written out 91. So the reality of it, or the actual fact, is that the asset management business was started in 1991.
Okay.
But Hendrik de Toy, in the results presentation last week, went to great lengths to draw parallels between 91, the year Sia Khaleesi was born. I mean,
oh no, that's
I
a
know
stretch.
How what a stretch, right?
Yeah,
and so many other things he was talking about. Anyway. The name of the asset management business, Investec's asset management business, is 91, the year they started trading. Anyway, not good. Things are not looking great. They've had net inflows of 3.2 billion rand, which is 6.3% growth, which is not bad. But then just from the other side of things, the operations really fell by 4.2%, operating profit fell by 4.2%. So I think just things with Investec at the moment, very difficult. They've had a couple of negatives or disappointments, I should say, especially in their UK business. So the share looks cheap at the moment, but then you can't help but wonder what's going to be the catalyst to see the share go higher. They really have got, Investec really have got this, you know, be fearful when others are greedy kind of mentality at the moment, because they're very excited about expansion and growing, and we'll see how that plays out, shall we?
All right. Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath, but let's go to Tsogo-san quickly before you go.
And so they put out interim results. I think the market was pretty much expecting the numbers that came out after the trading statement they put out earlier this month. Income was up 5%, EBITDA up 4%, adjusted headline earnings though was down 13%, and this was more about depreciation and interest charges relating to the Suncoast expansion than anything else. So, you know, you watch these things year on year, every 6 months kind of grow, and you wonder where they're going to make their money or how they're going to add value, and you can only hope that by spending money on expansionary programs that'll pay off. I mean, this reminds me of what's the Menland Sun? What's the casino?
Times Square.
Like, that was a disaster.
Sun International,
right? Yeah. That was real. Anyway, so we hope that the expansion programs and all the money they spend on expansion pays off.
All right. You did this bicycle race last Sunday, and that's why you weren't here on Monday. People were furious.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so the only time you've ever let us down because of some stupid cycling race. How did you do?
It wasn't only the cycling race. I also had to get to the airport. I flew off to Cape Town that morning.
Ugh, with sore legs.
With my legs are still sore.
Wow.
Why do you
Granted, we had our year-end function on Friday, and I danced all night in high heels.
The Friday before?
No, this Friday passed. So my legs are sore from last Sunday's rest and Friday night's dancing.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I did go dressed up as the dance monkey. So that I had to dance.
Wow.
So
there's a lot to deal with here.
Yeah. If we had to dissect this.
So tell me about what you did on the race.
I did over 5 hours. And you know, the first part of the race is just uphill. And I thought, this is hard.
No, we don't know.
Oh, don't you know? No, okay. Well, you go from Steyn City, through Steyn City, up the hill, all the way up, and then all the way up Jan Smuts. And then when you get to the top of Jan Smuts, basically that's kind of the peak of the race. And then you turn around and go onto the highway. And as I got to Jan Smuts, I thought, huh, I got this. That was hard, but I've got this. And then I turned onto the highway and into the wind and started cramping, and everything was painful.
And it was just awful. Imagine cycling up Jan Smuts.
Ugh.
It's Dude. So long.
Not even if zombies were chasing me.
You wouldn't.
It's amazing.
How long is the distance?
It's 94.7 kilometers. Oh. So it's sponsored by 94.7. Okay. yeah. And then, of course, we also have to do Kailami. Is that like whole section? And something on, I don't know if you know Kailami racetrack, but there's a part called the Chimney. And that's when I lost my sense of humor.
Which part is that?
It's a like a big uphill?
Yes, yeah. It's just like a very steep uphill. It's not very long, but it's very steep. And you've had enough. And that's by that stage, you've had enough, right? You're just like, you're about, I don't know, 75 kilometers into the race now. Now you're just enough.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
That's the money shot. Next time, I promise you, I'll have all your theme songs ready for you. CliffCentral.com